come to you to speak today, to share my story. You see, I was an older man when I became betrothed to Mary. I subsequently married her. I had been married before, but my wife had died, and I had children from her. But then I needed another wife, and Mary and I became betrothed. Mary was 13 when she was betrothed to me. I was, as I said, much older. That was not unusual in that time. People didn't live as long as you do now. And for us, betrothal was much like it is for you today when you are married. You're almost considered to be married. You just haven't gone through the official rituals. In fact, if I had died before Mary and I had gotten married, Mary would have been considered a widow because of the fact that we had been betrothed. I did die when Jesus was a young man. The last you hear of me in your scriptures is when we were at the temple when Jesus was 12. And I was gone by the time Jesus began his work. But about the events of his birth, I've often been asked about this. How did you feel about that, Joseph? Did you really think that Jesus was something special, or that this pregnancy was something special? Well, like any normal man, I figured that Mary had been with someone else. And yes, I was deeply troubled. Deeply troubled. Because, you see, according to the law, I was supposed to turn her in to the priest in the temple, the Pharisees in the synagogue, and she would be stoned to death for her adultery. And if she ever revealed the name of who did it to her, that person would be killed as well. I couldn't let that happen. Not just because I had grown very fond of Mary, but because she was such a kind person. She was a very devout person. She loved Jehovah. I agonized for days. What should I do? How could I handle this? I had sleepless nights trying to figure out, what can I do? I prayed to God, oh God, what should I do? And then, I decided to let her go quietly. Just send her off. She wouldn't be killed. Life would still be very difficult for her because life for a young woman with a child, not married, was not an easy life. And then that one night, I had a dream. I was asleep and I had this dream where an angel of Jehovah spoke to me and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife, because the child in her was conceived by the Spirit of Jehovah. Now this was a powerful dream for me, because I believed in Jehovah. I went to the temple and sacrificed to Jehovah. I went to the synagogue to learn the law and to practice the law as obediently as I could. And I had to believe that Jehovah had sent this angel to me So, my captain married. And eventually we were married. But before that, when Mary was close to the end of her term of pregnancy, the Emperor Augustus, Caesar, flew one of his enrollments at us. Everyone had to go to town the day we're from to be enrolled. Now, this wasn't just for taxation. When these happened, there were other reasons as well. Number one, to pledge your allegiance to the emperor. And you know, Herod thought that was a pretty good idea, so Herod the king made sure that people pledged allegiance to him at the same time. And if you didn't, you wouldn't live long. And it was also done so that Herod and the emperor would know how many men they could count on for their wars. So we had to go to Bethlehem when Mary was close to the end of her term, an 80-mile trek. We had to go to Bethlehem because I had family connections. I had lived in Bethlehem before. But when Herod Archelaus became ethnarch over Judea, that area of our world, I thought it might be a little bit better and easier for me if I moved someplace else where he didn't have control. So I moved to Nazareth. The trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem took a number of days because Mary couldn't travel very far at night or during the day. She didn't have the energy being close to town. And we got to Bethlehem and we found out that because of the census, there was no room for us. None of my family, friends, or connections that I had any room for us. So we ended up with the animals. It was warm. It was dry. And that's what was important. And while we were there, she delivered. Jesus was born. We named him Jesus because, you see, the angel told me to name him Jesus, and the angel told Mary to name him Jesus. And we were enjoying that time together when all of a sudden, shepherds from the hills came in looking for this babe wrapped in swaddling cloth. And they started to tell us this story of how an angel had appeared to them out in the fields and told them that the Savior of the world had been born. And they looked for a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger in the city of David, Bethlehem. That was our Jesus. And I was shocked, but at the same time, I thought, I had been visited by an angel and told about Jesus' birth. Mary had been visited by an angel and told about Jesus' birth. And now the shepherds had been visited by an angel. Told about Jesus' birth. It confirmed my decision to keep Mary as my wife. We stayed in Bethlehem for a little while so Mary could get strong again after the delivery, and so it was time to take Jesus to the temple to make our sacrifices in the ritual of purification. And also to put present him as our firstborn, to be designated as holy before God, as required according to the Jewish laws. And there we got to the temple and we're walking around, and all of a sudden we meet this old man and this old woman sitting in the air. Never met him before in my life. And all of a sudden they start talking about how our son, Jesus, was destined to be the rise and the fall of many. He was the Holy One of God, the Messiah. And it was then, I think, that besides confirming once again what I'd done in keeping Mary, it also reminded me that God truly cared about us. I was a carpenter. That's a tradesman. And tradesmen were right just about the bottom of the social structure of our time. We were poor. We never made a lot of money. And it was hard for me to believe for the longest time that God would send this special child, Jesus, to a poor tradesman and his 13-year-old wife. Then we went back to Nazareth. And our son grew just like any normal boy. As he was growing, he was taught to obey the laws, to be trust God, Jehovah, just like his mother and I did. We did have that incident that you've perhaps heard about when he was 12 years old, and we'd gone to the temple in Jerusalem, and then we left. We could not realize that he wasn't with us. We went back and we found him talking with the priests in the temple, and they were amazed at what this boy knew. What his mother and God were. We knew how smart he was. We knew that he was humble. He had learned his humility from his mother. And we both had taught him to trust the Lord. Mary and I found that our trust in Jehovah had allowed this wonderful thing to happen. Think about it. Mary could have said when the angel announced to her, "You're going to bear a son." No, I'm not. I don't want any part of it. Knowing what could happen to her if she was pregnant, impregnated this way, and how people might think she had been with another man. And I, on the opposite side, was thinking she had been pregnant by another man. And I said, no, I'm keeping her as my wife. And we did that because we trusted Jehovah. That was a dark time in my life when I believed that Mary had been with someone else. But I trusted the angel and Jehovah to take care of us. Jehovah's always there. Jehovah visits us when we are experiencing darkness in our souls, in our lives. You know what? You celebrate your holiday Christmas. It's the coming of Jehovah's Son into the world. But it didn't just happen back in 4 BC when Jesus was born. It happens every day. The power of the Spirit, Jehovah, comes into people's lives each and every day. And Jehovah's Son is born again. Not just that man, but every day. So I want to encourage you to not just celebrate, but this holiday to celebrate is about just that one day. But celebrate it every day. Look around you.